Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. With Jesus as its cornerstone, the church has a rock-solid foundation. As believers, we're part of that building, since we're called living stones by the Apostle Peter. Today, more about the church that Jesus founded and our part in that divine structure. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Turn now to Ephesians 2:20 as we learn more about God's glory in our church.
All of us are deeply moved when we see the images on television regarding Haiti. And of course, there have been a lot of other disasters that have taken place. But there is one news item that maybe you missed. I saw it only once. And that was of a young mother who was being interviewed by a newsman. And she said that she lost both of her children in the quake. One was a five-year-old and the other was 18 months old. And the newsman said to her, "Did you get a chance to bury your children?" And she said, "No, there was no place to bury them, so I just threw them away." Then the camera zoomed in on a bag that she was taking with her on the bus, stuffed with a few clothes, and right next to those clothes, clearly visible, was a Bible. And she said, "I derive hope from Psalm 46. And then actually on the news, Psalm 46, the first verse or two was actually quoted. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be cast into the depths of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the dwelling thereof." And then it goes on to say, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What devastations he brings in the earth." And yet it ends by saying, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And I thought, think of how precious the faith of that woman is to God. Losing both children, unable to bury them, having nothing, that woman's faith goes down to a very deep foundation. So the first feature of the building is the foundation, which determines the strength and the size of the building. The second feature is, of course, the stones. Now let's look at this. It says it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Now actually what it's talking about is the other stones in the building. Peter refers to living stones. Now, we know that actual stones aren't alive, but this is the imagery of Scripture. And so the Bible says that we are the stones with which God is building this structure. The foundation is Jesus, but we're the stones. And where does God get these stones? God goes into the quarry of sin, and he chisels them out of that quarry, just like Solomon's temple was built, and then he brings them in and he fits them right into where they should be on the walls so that they become the stones that he wants to have there. I never tire of hearing testimonies of how people have come to saving faith in Christ. This past week, Rebecca and I had dinner with a couple, and he was telling us that he bought a Bible for $40. He bought it from a friend because he didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want to think of himself as being, you know, cheap. And so he went and bought it and regretted that he had. But he took the Bible, never opened it, put it in a closet. He said, "The last thing I needed was a Bible." But then his wife got terminally ill and he took the Bible down and he read Matthew chapter 1 to 23, he said, at least 20 times. And in the process of reading that, he came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He is now a stone, so to speak, in God's building. You see, each of us has a different story, but God goes into the quarry of sin. He picks us up. He puts us into the building. And of course, we are growing stones. So if you can just visualize one stone grinding upon another, wearing each other down and becoming smooth. And that happens through community. You see, that's why we gather together. That's why, even though we're thankful for all those who are listening today by way of internet, the fact is that if you have the opportunity to go to church to meet with the body, you should go to church and meet with the body of believers, because it is in community that we are formed into these stones that become the building. And you know, sometimes the community works, sometimes it doesn't. The same man who gave his testimony to us said that he was in the Marines during the 50s. And he said that there were four of them who would go to church every Sunday. He said, in those days, we were not well fed. He said, we were so hungry. We were undernourished. And he said, we'd go to church, and after church, we'd stand around looking hungry. But he said, nobody ever invited us out to eat. Do you realize that the person who is sitting next to you today may be hungry? Maybe you should invite them out to eat. That's what the body of Jesus Christ is all about. But also as a staff, as we've thought about the expectations that we would like to have from our congregation, it involves, of course, gathering together Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. And then it involves connecting, and you can do that through the TMC communities and in other ways in the church to build that sense of community. It involves also equipping classes, and we have those from time to time. You know that they're listed in the bulletin. And, of course, precept and other ways, all the way from point zero in people's lives all the way to senior adults. We want opportunities here at the Moody Church for you to grow and to become the kind of part of the temple that God wants. And then, of course, everybody should serve. And we say that not just because we want to get things done, but we believe that all of these things are tied up with character, tied up with spiritual growth, as it says in Ephesians, that we might come together and that we might become one and a full body in Jesus Christ. So we have the foundation stone. We also have the stones themselves. And now we get to the real issue. Why is it being built, and for whom is it being built? Some buildings are famous because of who visited them. That's why I've been to the Wartburg Castle in Germany perhaps 5 or 6 times, because Luther lived there for 10 months, and you can go into the room in which he actually lived. Some buildings are famous because of their architecture and who built them, and we certainly think that because of Frank Lloyd Wright being here in the city of Chicago, groups come from all over the world to see his architecture. But some buildings are important because of who lives in them. Buckingham Palace, that's where the Queen lives. And who lives in this building? There it is in the text, your Bible open. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It's a dwelling place for God. For God to be among his people. And by the way, since your Bibles are open, please notice that it is God who does the joining together. It is God who does the building together. God is building a temple for himself in which he may dwell. Several implications become very important for us as we think about that. First of all, every church should be characterized by the presence of God. Every church should recognize that the way in which we are distinguished from all other people on the face of the earth, as Moses pointed out, we are distinguished from all others because God is among us. You remember when God wasn't going to go with Moses and said, I'll send an angel, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses said, no. If you don't come with us, don't leave us here. He says, if you don't come with us, don't take us anywhere. We'll stay here, because Moses wanted the presence of God so badly. He said, how else are we going to be distinguished from all the other people in the earth? How is Moody Church going to be distinguished from political parties, from various groups that meet together because they have a common interest. How are we going to be different from all other groups? The answer is the presence of God. Now, when the presence of God is with us, a number of things happen. First of all, there's conviction of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, when somebody comes into your assembly and somebody is prophesying, that is to say, preaching the word, he says, he will be convinced by all and convicted, and he will fall on his face and say, surely God is among you, because his secrets will be revealed. Wow, happens all the time. Somebody comes into church and he's sleeping with his girlfriend, or maybe with someone else within a marriage relationship, and it's all rationalized and it's all tucked under and it's all secret and it's all right, and he may even be comfortable with it. And then he comes to church and he hears a message and he hears a song, and suddenly he knows that he needs to repent of his sin. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. Or somebody comes with anger and bitterness and all of this that has spilled over into their lives and ruined their lives, and in the presence of God, small sins suddenly become big ones, like the man who cheated on his expense accounts. That's what businessmen do. They cheat on expense accounts. They all do it. But suddenly, when the Holy Spirit of God began to show him who he really was, he fell across his desk and could not stop sobbing, and said it was as if he was looking into the pit of hell. That's what happens when the presence of God is there. My friend today, have you ever had the experience of being in church and then you're going to sing a song about the holiness of Jesus and suddenly you realize you can't sing? I think I've had that experience, because the Holy Spirit of God puts his finger on something in your life that is wrong. The Bible is very clear, he who hides his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it will find mercy. Today I want to spend just a moment reminding you that if there's a part of your life, a part of your mind, and you have taken that part of the mind and you've put it into a closet and you have not given God the key, you can never really worship to his glory. At the end of the day, what God really wants from us is a sense of yieldedness and faith and the willingness to give to him those pockets of resistance that all of us struggle with. I hope today that you will be able to worship. And I hope that this coming Sunday when you go to church, you will be able to open up your heart to the Lord and sing his praises with sincerity and depth, because everything in your life has been given to him. Thanks so much for joining us today on Running to Win. In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I need to tell you, thank you in advance for your prayers, for your support. Together, we're making a difference.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our church. The second message in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time on Running to Win, more on your part in your church. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.